Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We have some children here. Maybe we can get together. Welcome. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, have you guys ever thought about what it would be like to be a queen? Have you planned to work on becoming one? No? No queens. Do you know what queens have to do? Or kings? You don't know what they do? Most people don't. Some people say they don't do anything. They just sit around and say things and tell people what to do. But if there are two kinds of kings and two kinds of queens, and one is a good king or queen, and the other is a bad one, what do you think a bad queen would do? Yeah. Boss people around, that's right. Yeah, and you know, some of the bad queens in history have been so bad that they had people's heads cut off. Hi, how you doing? We have a king among us. Have you thought about being a king? No, you aren't. What do you want to be when you grow up? How about you girls? Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? Well, that's all right. I haven't either. Someday I'll figure that one out. But being a king or a bad king or a queen, some of the bad ones have been really bad. In fact, there are some that have a reputation for being really cruel. We visited a castle in Sweden once, and on the top floor, I think of the three floors, and on the top floor there's one room that was surrounded. I mean, it was a whole room inside the room, and that, they told us, had been a prison for the king's brother. The king didn't want the brother giving him any trouble, so he locked him in that, and he had to live all of his life in that one little room. How would you like to spend your whole life in your room? Doesn't sound nice at all, does it? So bad kings and bad queens come and go. I suppose it's the same thing with presidents. Bad ones and good ones, and sometimes you have to put up with what you got. But a good king is one who loves the people he has, he's serving. In fact, he sees himself as a servant rather than as the one who beats them down. And so, can you think of any good kings? Do you know about good King Wenceslas? There's a song about him. We'll be singing that sometime. Good King Wenceslas was the king, but he liked the people so well that he went around, and especially on Christmas time, he would go through the deep snow and give them gifts. Isn't that neat? And some of our Santa Claus stories are based on that too. So, if you don't want to become a king or a queen, that's okay. But maybe today we can remember the King of Kings. Okay? Let's say thank you to the King. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to be your servants, and that you love us so much that you're willing to do just about anything for us. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And I want to say a word of thanks to those who set up our display here. To remind us that this is King of Kings. And the two beautiful banners, I'm not sure, did somebody here make those? Whoever did a beautiful job to have all of those. From the time that I was a little kid, I've always been fascinated by space. And I love to read things about it and to watch things on TV about outer space. When I was in college, I took a course in geology. And because the Earth happens to be a planet, we had to look out at some of the other planets and to realize that this is not all there is, this Earth. There are lots of planets out there. In fact, as they develop these new spaceships and the new telescopes, they're looking out further and further and further to the point that it's just absolutely incredible. Boggles my mind when I realize that, you know, you think the Milky Way galaxy that we're in is a huge thing, and it is. We can't even reach the closest star in our galaxy yet. But there are galaxies, they say, that are out there that are so huge. They make our galaxy, our Milky Way, look like a little marble by comparison. That's how huge they are. And it took billions of years for the light from those to reach the Earth. I don't know how they calculate that, but that's a long way. Because light travels pretty fast. But all of those, and there are billions of those galaxies. And within our own Milky Way galaxy, they say that there are billions, several billion planets that could support life. I don't know how they figured that one either, but it's amazing. And I think, wow, isn't this incredible? But that's what our God has created. It's so incredible, we can't even imagine just how vast God's creation is. And the whole idea that God has created all of this and all of us, and still, despite how vast it is, our God loves us enough to come to be among us. Isn't that amazing? I think of how it's hard to imagine to have a king, a God who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, as the scriptures tell us. The first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last, the A and the Z, sort of in our language. Who is that vast and yet is concerned about little old you or me. Isn't that amazing? The writer of Daniel talks about the one whom he sees on the throne, high and lifted up, but one who comes to the throne and who is given dominion and power and authority over all below. Daniel, already speaking to a group of people who are under great persecution, comes to the point of saying, God is already sending someone who will be your Savior. This God who is so great still cares about you and me. This God who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them created you and me also, and loves us with an everlasting love. That's the basis of our scriptures today, because the book of Revelation gives us a very similar story, a story of God reaching out and bringing his own son into our world. And he has almost the same imagery of the throne in heaven with all of these thousands and thousands of millions of people who are bowing down and worshiping him. I think of a Middle Ages story about a king who had a number of noblemen in his throne room, and as he entered, they all stood up as was proper. And he said, gentlemen, sit down. I consider you to be my close personal friends. You don't need to stand for me. And one of the people, who was one of his classmates actually, said, you're right, sir. If you were the Lord, we wouldn't be standing. We would be kneeling. This is the power of God that comes to us in so many ways. And we sometimes lose track of it. And in the gospel today, Pilate is trying to figure all of this out too. Who are you, he asks. Who are you, really a king? Mistaken identity might have been part of the problem. I mean, here's Jesus. Think of the picture. Jesus has been up all night. He's wearing this dirty, filthy, blood-stained robe. They battered him around all night long. Probably has a bloody, bruised face. He's nothing to look at. Probably nothing to smell either. Long night like that. Pilate probably just wants to keep his distance. He doesn't look like a king. And Pilate realizes that. And he says, are you really a king? All these people out here say you are a king. Jesus says, well, you say I'm a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of another world. I was thinking of a story a pastor told about being on the interstate. They had just gotten onto the interstate, he and his wife, and all at once the state trooper pulls them over. Sirens going and all that. And when he rolls down his window, the trooper is there with his gun pointed right at him. Says, get out of that car. Both of you. Put your hands on your head. Well, he's a little shocked by this. And he's a little concerned that some of his members might be looking at him and saying, what's going on here? Anyway, they both get out of the car and they put their hands on their heads and they are cuffed and they are searched. And about that time, more troopers have come up. Their sirens blaring and their lights flashing. And they all pull out their guns and have their guns trained on them too. And they can't figure out what's going on. Well, the troopers check their IDs and they get another call on their car phone, and the guy who stopped them goes and checks on it. He comes back and he uncuffs them and apologizes. It was mistaken identity. There had been a bank robbery. And a man and a woman in a car that fit their car's description had been guilty of it, and they had just been caught. Mistake. But Pilate doesn't want to make this mistake. Why are you? How could you be a king if you are not really in control of all the things that are going on around you? All these people make these claims. How can you possibly be a king? Well, surprise, surprise.
A king of glory comes. Rejoices. Oh.
stand the gates before him, lift up your voices. Sing, Man of David's Son, our Savior and Brother. In all of Galilee was never another. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. He gave his life for us, the pledge of salvation. He took upon himself the sins of the nation. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. He conquered sin and death. Has risen, and he will share with us his heavenly vision. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices.
You know, I said that I was interested in space and those kinds of things. I read a recent survey that said that 46% of all young adults believe in UFOs. Well, that puts me in good company. You know, I believe in UFOs. Doesn't put me in the company of young adult, but you know, you get the point. But that same survey said that only 10% of them believed that Social Security would be here when they needed it. In other words, most young adults believe that it's more likely that a UFO will land in their front yard than that a Social Security check will land in their mailbox. What do you believe? What do you believe about our God? A God who is Lord of heaven and earth, a king who loves us so much that he would actually come down, despite the vastness of all of his creation, and love us enough to die for us, and who this morning says to us, "This is my body, this is my blood. Receive me. And receive forgiveness, life, and salvation." But sometimes it's hard for us to see the light. And we have to make a commitment to that one and declare what we really believe. Let me give you an illustration. It's a little far out, but the police saw this man under a street light, and he was obviously drunk, staggering around in the light. They finally went over to see what he was looking for, and they said, "Are you lost?" And he said, "Oh no, I'm not lost, but I lost my wallet." They said, well, they helped him look for a while, and they said, "Are you sure that you lost it here?" He said, "Oh no, I didn't lose it here. I lost it over there." "Well, why are you here? Why aren't you over there looking for it?" "Well, there's more light here." You and I have come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who declares to us, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who comes to me will be saved." May we search for the light in the light of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.